Hello, Promised Land. This is Pastor Robin Steele, and I just wanted to jump on our Promised Land Sermons podcast and interrupt our normal episode, which is typically sermons, mostly me and other pastors speaking on our Sunday service schedule. We always upload the sermons here on our podcast, but today I want to give you a bonus episode with my wife and I. And I want to invite you to come over and subscribe to our podcast on a separate channel. You can search for it by typing in Made Meaningful into any of your podcast apps. And we'd love for you to join us. We just started this podcast, and it's conversations. And we talk about family. We talk about life. And so I want to drop this episode on our Promised Land podcast channel, just so you guys can get in on it, and so that we'd love for you to join us. We'd love for you to be a part of that podcast as well. So here is an episode from the Made Meaningful podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of our podcast. Episode 1 was record-breaking. I think I saw that 23 people listened to our podcast so far. Yep. Come on, 23 people.
Seriously.
We love y'all. Today we're going to be talking about community and how important community is. So my name is Robin Steele.
I'm Erica Steele.
Welcome to the Made Meaningful podcast.
Hey, everybody. We're so glad you joined us for today's podcast. Today, we're going to discuss community and how that looks in our lives and the way community has affected us and supported us. And
it's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, we mentioned in episode 1 how we have this daughter who has profound special needs.
Mm-hmm.
And we made a decision early on that we weren't going to let that totally affect the way we live. We're going to try our hardest to have a, quote, normal life. And we have for 18 years. I think it's really incredible when we meet people for the first time and they don't know that we have a daughter with profound special needs. And we just start talking to them. And they're like, how many kids do you have? Oh, we have 3 kids. We have an 18-year-old, a 16-year-old, a 14-year-old, mm-hmm. and, you know, there's that inevitable moment when they say, oh, 18-year-old girl, she must be driving around, going to college,
mm-hmm.
and there's always that awkward moment where we have to say, well, she's not like every other 18-year-old, she's different.
Yeah.
And sometimes we try to head that off at the pass, you know, and say it before they stick their foot in their mouth. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is that what's incredible to me is that they're so surprised when they hear that, because there was nothing about us that said that she was disabled. You know, like,
yeah,
they just thought, wow, you're normal people. You
right.
know, you
yeah.
look normal, you act normal, you have a sense of humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we say, well, our daughter is unable to do anything, she requires 24-hour nursing care, there's a nurse at our house right now, or a family member or somebody, a friend,
mm-hmm.
that's hanging out with her right now so we can be here.
Mm-hmm.
It just freaks them out. And there's something about that that's so cool to me, because it tells me over and over again that God really has blessed us with an incredible life, and
with a great community around us, more than anything.
Yeah, and we're gonna be raw and real on this, and we're gonna tell, you know, the behind the scenes story of there are many, 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 many days in 18 years where it was brutally difficult.
We're normal for a family with a disabled child, we're trying to live normally, but it's still so different. And, you know, I'm sure there will be a lot of people that argue how normal our family actually is, but it's so much because of the community around us and the people that have helped us to be able to live a typical life to the best we can.
I notice it when we have to say no to somebody, you know, if they want to go out and we just cannot find someone to help us with Kennedy at that particular time. I remember not too long ago, we were talking to someone and they were like, let's go do this, let's go do that. And we were trying to communicate with them like, hey, we can't, we want to. And we're trying to figure that out, but we don't have anybody for Kennedy. And it was like they didn't get it. And I think that kind of proves my point, though, that our life is so normal on so many levels in so many ways that people forget. I mean, I was talking earlier about people that meet us for the first time. They're surprised by it. Mm-hmm. But then people that we've known for so long forget because... Mm-hmm. Because our life is very, very, you know, normal, whatever. So the point of today, though, is we want to talk about one of the reasons why that's even possible. There's several, but in my book, I just finished a book. It's coming out in September, and I put a whole chapter in the book about this because it is such a big, big deal. That community, the people around us help us live the life that we live.
Right.
And the only way to really face horrible situations, you know, big hurdles, difficult situation, is with people around you supporting you.
Yeah, for sure.
If you don't have that, then you're going to really, really struggle, have a hard time. So this all started for us. Well, it was very obvious to us when Kennedy was born.
Yeah.
And I love telling the story. Erica was in the room, the delivery room, and I was kind of going back and forth between the waiting room and the delivery room. And there were 50 people in the waiting room.
Yeah.
I just remember that number, huge number of people.
Yeah.
Of course, my family, my parents, my sister, brother-in-law, your mom, your brother, your dad, your grandma, my aunts and uncles. Of course, they're blood family, but the majority was church family.
Yeah.
And it was just incredible to see that. And then once she was born, those people continue to be with us through practical means and spiritual means. They would pray. I remember having a prayer meeting at my parents' house, and the living room was just packed with people. And this would be actually before birth, and it was all praying for Kennedy to be healed, you know, thinking that she was going to be born without this disability. And but the place was packed. I remember they had a balcony. There's people like hanging over the balcony, people in chairs on the floor, and just praying together. So that happened. And then Kennedy was in the hospital for 42 days when she was born. And so that was 42 days of being in that intensive care unit. And we lived, 30 minutes?
30 minutes, yeah.
From the hospital. So we had people cooking for us, people visiting the hospital with us. I remember people coming up to the hospital to watch football games with me in the waiting room. And just incredible people surrounding us. So that was the beginning, you know, of her. And then for 18 years now, we've had tremendous amount of people, hundreds of people, communing with us, helping us. And I think the main point I want to say is that that's not an accident and it's not a coincidence, but it is the fruit of a whole lot of sowing into other people, ourselves.
Yeah, just pouring into other people, being investing in other people.
I'm looking out our window. We're sitting in our office right now, and a goat just randomly walked by the window. You never know what's going to happen at the Steele household.
Okay, back on track. I think community for us has so many layers. I mean, of course, there's family. We have your family is really big and extended, and we have lots of people in your family that have, I mean, my goodness, over the years, there's just been endless support and prayers, and that's invaluable. Our immediate family, my mom, your mom and dad, being there to support us, especially when the kids were little. I mean, they were just, they helped us stay afloat in those years when it felt like every ounce of energy was being drained from us. They've been a huge support. But then over the years, you know, like you said, like there's been seasons with Kennedy where she's been in the hospital for one reason or another over the years, multiple surgeries and procedures, and people have brought us food and taken the kids to go see a movie or go do something at the park or take the boys, you know, to do things. And then over the years, that has grown more and more to include nurses and attendants that have been with us to help with Kennedy. And just like this beautiful fabric being woven together in community is really how it has been. Just this, you know, it's not all just one person or one thing, but it's the unifying of all the people in the community coming together to support us that has been so impactful.
Yeah, I think the power of community is that there's a lot of people and everybody shares the load. And so I know nurses are a big deal for us.
Mm-hmm.
And we have one nurse that's been with us for 8 years now.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
which I don't know if that speaks to her insanity or kindness. I'm not sure what that says, but yeah, she's been...
She has nothing else to do.
She is such a family member.
Kimberly. Yeah.
Kimberly.
She's not going to listen to the podcast.
You don't know that.
She's probably taking a nap somewhere right now. Oh, man. She's fun. She's been with us for a long time.
Yeah.
But we have other people, other nurses that have been with us for quite a while over the years. And so the nurses do play a huge role. And obviously, they're doing it for pay. You know, they're not volunteering. But Erica does such an incredible job of balancing that role that they have with really including them in the family.
I'm glad we're getting this on actually recorded because I get accused of treating them better than family sometimes. And
our boys get a little jealous, but
you listen, know if they start helping to the level that our nurses help with taking care of Kennedy, then maybe we can work
Erica
on that.
Erica has been actually breaking the rules. We're getting this all recorded. It's going to go out and 23 people are going to hear it. but one of the rules that the nursing company has, you're not supposed to buy them gifts. And Erica's like, I just can't follow that rule. So she will buy them a birthday gift, or we just went out of town on a vacation. Erica and I went by ourselves without the kids, which is a huge thing. And I want to cover that on another episode, you know, like that priority and that value that we have of traveling. Something else just ran through our yard.
Can you focus? Maybe I should be the one. You just burped into the microphone. Do you realize that? And maybe I should be the one looking out the window, not you, because you apparently can't handle it.
There's like a black flash that just...
Okay. It's probably something about to eat our goats. That's awesome.
I thought it might have been a coyote.
Okay. It might have been. Well, great. That's great. That means our goats are going to be goat stew.
One of the things that we like to do a lot is travel, and we just went on vacation, just Erica and I, and the ability to go out of town for 6 days with three kids that don't go with you and a special needs child that takes 24-hour care is an enormous feat.
It really is.
It's a huge feat. And I hear people that don't have special needs kids that say, we haven't been on a trip as a couple by mm-hmm. ourselves in the last 10 years or since we had kids or whatever.
That's not going to work for us. I mean, I
do we not love our kids as much as they do?
We do. It's just you and I need time away so that we can communicate.
It is true. It's so needed to get away. Anyway, I want to cover that in another episode, like really get into that, because I think it's a big deal. But the point I'm trying to make is that while we were on this trip, Erica bought a little gift for our nurse to say mm-hmm. thank you for carrying such a big load.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. So one of the things I just want to get across to people, you know, other people that are listening that that are wanting some peace in their life, they're wanting some rhythm that's healthy, they're trying to face, you know, they're facing difficult situations, community makes it happen. Being mm-hmm. in community makes it happen. And community is not an accident. There's a passage in the book of Acts. Is it okay if I read scripture? Sanctify yes. this podcast a little bit.
Yes, please.
I'm a pastor, so I got to read scripture every once in a while. But when the brand new church first started, they in Acts 2:42 says that they devoted themselves to four things, and one was the apostles' teaching, which is the Bible. One was prayer. So those are two very spiritual and deep things. But the other two things that they devoted themselves to were community. One was fellowship, and one was sharing meals together. So I just think it's so crazy that when the writer of Acts, Luke, was trying to convey to us what the original church members devoted themselves to, like, we're going to do four things, that's it. We're going to mm-hmm. do four things. Of course, the teaching of the Bible, prayer, those are huge.
Mm-hmm.
But the other two were just about building community. So, and that's what I was saying earlier, is that community is not accidental. You know, it's not just like a blessing.
You don't just stumble across
it. Yeah, it's definitely, as the Bible would say, seed time and harvest time. So you mm-hmm. sow mm-hmm. and reap.
Absolutely. I mean, God, that has been the theme that I keep feeling over and over again over the last several months is there's been so many things that have come up. And when you're in community, it's not just all great, like, because you're interacting with people and we're all human. And we all have brokenness in us, and so it's not always easy, but the reward is always there and worth the investment that you make. But it's never, I think the tendency is to want to walk up to a field and start reaping the harvest immediately, and getting all the goods so that you can go about your business and make something versus, there's this barren field with nothing in it, and pouring into that and then having patience and waiting for that seed to germinate and grow and then bring a harvest later.
Let me read a paragraph from my book.
Please do, in that voice as well.
This is How to Be Made Whole, page 136, by Robin Steele. That's that DJ voice you're afraid of. Okay.
Yes, it was.
Community takes time. It gets messy.
Maybe I should read it.
You want to?
Yeah, I think I should. What paragraph?
That second one right there.
Second paragraph. Okay.
Okay, Erica's going to read it.
I think they know that because I just said, give me that and I'm going to read it. Okay. Community takes time. It gets messy. Growing together is an investment, and it sometimes takes a while to reap a reward. Instead of leaning into old-fashioned relationships with other people and being patient with the slow process, most of us get weary and give up. Sometimes the relationship breaks up. We hurt one another. We often deal with that by shutting down and avoiding the risk. We toughen our skin and resolve to never be betrayed again. That's so true.
What a great book. Everybody, go now.
Spend the rest of the podcast tooting your horn.
Hey, I do want to say that if you're listening to this podcast, nobody knows this yet. This is brand new.
This is the dish.
This is brand new. Okay. You can go to our website right now and get the book. You can pre-order the book. I'll sign it for you. The first 200 people to order it are going to get a signed copy. Go to my website, our website.
Oh, MadeMeaningful.com.
MadeMeaningful.com.
Okay, can we get back on
we
track?
We just killed that whole chapter
No, we didn't. It was awesome, and it still sticks. It's even better because we're dumb.
Okay, so I guess what I would like to challenge people with is what are you doing right now to invest and sow seed in other people?
Right.
To help them and to invest in them.
It's not a one-way street. Because if you walk up to somebody else's field and you start taking their food from them without permission,
come on,
you're going to get beat. That's what's going to happen. It is not going to go well for you.
Yeah. So find ways to invest in other people. Take a risk. For those of you that are socially talented, and that's, whatever that is on the Enneagram or personality profiles or whatever.
You don't even know anything about the Enneagram. Don't try to bring up something you don't even know anything about.
Just throwing out fancy names. Act like I know what I'm talking about. If you're one of those outgoing people, it's easy for you. Great. There's many of us, including myself, that would much rather just be alone, not be around people. And I have to make myself get out and be social.
Yeah, tell us how you do that, because I'm kind of, I guess, I don't know what they call it, but I'm on the fence. And that's not what I meant. But, I am on the fence in the sense that I definitely have days where I'm more introverted and I just want to be left alone. I just want to be in my cave somewhere and don't mess with me. And then there's days I just need that social interaction and need to be with other people and sow into relationships and do things like that.
Of course I'm going to say that the very first place that you need to build community is your household, in your house, your marriage, your kids. That those need to be your best friends, your closest relationships in your household. But then I am 100% believer that every single human being needs to be committed to a local church. And when I say committed to a local church, I'm talking about joining a church. I'm talking about serving at a church. I'm talking about being at the building whenever there's something going on. I'm talking about being a part of small groups. Whatever the local church is offering that you're a part of, show up.
Yeah.
Be in it. And a great example of the two examples. One is there were 50 people in that waiting room on the day of birth because we had been investing in those people's lives for decades, for many, many years.
Decades might be a stretch. Realize we were 23 and 25.
Two decades. Yeah, many, many years. We'd gone to the same church, invested in the same people, and had showed up and gone to Chili's after church, had gone to prayer meetings together, had worshiped together, been at prayer meetings together, you know, just on and on, gone on trips together, youth ministry, you know, just investing. It's so important. But we left that church and went to New Mexico, and we joined this tiny church.
Oh, man.
There was not one person in that church that was like us as far as our age, our race. It was a very Hispanic-driven church in northern New Mexico, and it was such a challenge for us because no one was like us. And I remember thinking, feeling like this is the church that God wants us in. But then after going for a couple of weeks, it was like, God, are you sure this is the church?
I mean,
the pastor preached for over an hour.
Oh my gosh, it was so long.
Each sermon was at least an hour.
I just want to publicly thank you right now for not preaching over an hour. I just want
to
thank you.
I don't get close to an hour. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what, hello, I'm thanking you right now.
Okay, so. So we were in this place where we had to make a choice. Are we going to just sort of drift in and out of this place? My dog just wrestled her.
She didn't wrestle. She shook her fur or whatever she does. Okay. You know what dogs do.
Let me start
She
over.
Didn't wrestle anything.
Okay, so we were in this place where we had to make a decision. Are we just going to kind of drift in and drift out of this place? Or are we going to go all in with this community? And we decided to go all in. And I started leading worship. I joined the worship team. And you know, if I'm leading worship, there's
a
void of singers.
Well, there was a void, but it didn't mean you were bad.
So Erica jumped into children's ministry.
Which, y'all, really? I mean, if I'm jumping into children's ministry, there's a void there.
I remember going, they had early morning prayer, and we would go, it was like 7 a.m. on Wednesdays or something like that, and we would go and pray in the church building, and then afterwards, we'd go to the back fellowship hall, kitchen. They had a few old couches, you know those old brown couches with like the wooden
plaid.
Or like flowers.
Beige, orange.
Like disco couches.
Yep.
You sit in it and you just like sink 4 feet down. He's like, drink bad coffee. We sat there and every week we would go. And we'd have coffee with Mark
Russell.
Russell. And you know, Russell was, so we were 20, how old were we? Like 20, early 20s, 23, 25. Not even that old. So we were young adults. And Russell was this single, bald.
He wasn't bald.
I don't know. There's just,
sorry, all you bald people out there.
Tim,
it's no, nothing personal.
But
Russell wasn't bald. He had a sweet comb over.
He had, he was like, was he 40?
Yeah, he was old.
He was so old. There was a lady named Violet. Remember Violet?
Violet, yes.
There was a lady named Betty.
Violet had electric blue eyeshadow that she wore every time.
She had spiky black hair.
Yep.
Betty had a huge Pentecostal bun.
Huge,
and,
huge hair.
Huge glasses.
And she was probably at least in her late 60s, early 70s.
Not that old.
No. Okay, she just appeared it.
She acted that way for sure.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyway, so there's all these people completely different than us. We're making this story very, very long.
We are.
But here's the point I want to make. We were there for almost 2 years, and by the time we left, we felt really, really connected to these people and missed them. And we now have a relationship with a couple of them, Antonio and Sarah.
Yeah.
And Delia is another one that those three just became super close to us.
Yeah.
And we'll see them up until this day. We'll visit with them, talk to them on Facebook and all that kind of stuff. So my point is, your connection with other people is not contingent upon your compatibility with them or your, you know, similarities or anything like that. It is totally up to your heart and your investment.
Yeah.
And if you will do that, God will honor that.
That's so true.
God will honor your investment and your selflessness. And you can become friends with people that you never realized you'd be friends with.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we run into this issue at Promised Land, our church in San Marcos, where we lose people that don't join or don't start coming or don't continue to come because when they show up, there's not a lot of people in their demographic. Mm-hmm. And so it's always sad to me because I'm like, don't leave. If you'll just hang out a little bit longer, you'll make some connections. But our natural response is, I don't have the time. I don't want to make the investment. And as a result, you don't reap the reward of community.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that's helped us now is we have a great group of friends, you know, just people in the church, people in the community, people that don't go to our church, neighbors, other people that are just friends, you know, they just like to hang out.
Mm-hmm.
Have dinner together, go to each other's houses, go on trips together. And that friendship is a huge part of our community that have allowed us to, you know, really flourish. And
yeah,
they let us bring Kennedy along
when
we need to, you know, and now, she, Kennedy's a young lady now, she's 18 and she can sit and hang out with us. And so, any last thoughts on any other thoughts you have on community?
Nope.
We are so thankful that you guys have tuned in and joined us on the podcast. I'm going to tell you again. My wife doesn't want me to tell you this. I'm going to tell you anyway.
I'm so nervous.
Go subscribe to this podcast.
Oh, yeah. Good old subscription.
And also, give it a rating. 5 stars. Review it, put a review, put 5 stars, subscribe. We've had several of you share it on social media. That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
For that, also, don't forget, you can go to our website, mademeaningful.com. You can pre-order the book today. All right.
How to be made whole.
How to be made whole. We love you guys. See you
bye
next
y'all.
Time.
Bye.